Good morning.
Good morning.
Verse 15. There's one thing that Joshua did not give to Israel, to the Hebrew people. And what was it? There's one thing they didn't give them. And you can say, well, it was Israel, it was the Hebrew people, right? They had to worship God, right? There's one option they didn't give him, Paul. You don't have to worship. Is that what he said? No, he says you're going to worship the gods of your fathers? Are you going to worship the people that you're around now, the Amorites and those other cultures? You're going to worship those gods or God, the one true God? He didn't say the option is you don't worship at all. All of us worship, whether we're religious or not religious. Even if we're atheists, because one of the tricky parts is when you talk about worship, what are we talking about? If you just take the literal definition of worship, what is it? It's bowing in reverence, and I think that's part of what Vaughn's going to be talking about on Wednesday nights, the first two nights, the next 2 weeks. But all of us worship something. Now, if you watch the video, what did he say? We were all created to worship. Why? Because we were created for who? We were created for God. And so if we're created through God and for God, that must mean we're created to worship. There's something inside of each one of us that desires something greater. And the problem is if you're not worshiping the one true God, who are you worshiping? Because you are going to worship something. So Joshua didn't say, the choice is you don't have to worship. He said, you will. It's just a matter of who or what. Starting with the foundation that we were created to worship by God, and we were created to worship God. Therefore, we all were created to worship. Some of us, and some of those who are not Christian and not religious at all, they choose other things to worship. Because you will worship something or someone. There are notes in the back. I don't know how many, but if you want to take notes, there are notes for you. Why idolatry, though? Why start a series on gods at war? Why talk about idolatry? I mean, isn't it primitive? I mean, it's way back in the days. I mean, how relevant is it to us today in our society? I mean, those were for the Hebrew people. That was for Israel and all of the people they were around back some 5,000 years ago. How does it matter, or why does it matter to us today? Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is what? But wait a minute, that's in the New Testament. That's for Christians. That's for the Colossian church. That's not for Christian believers nowadays, is it? There it is. You ever desire something more than what you need? Covetousness, which amounts to idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. That seems pretty harsh. But if you go back to Joshua, don't go there, but if you go back to Joshua, and even in the Ten Commandments, if you will, it says that God is a jealous God. A jealous God? Wait a minute, that sounds sinful. No, you ever been jealous? Everybody go, yes. Yes, been jealous. Sometimes that jealousy's been good, hasn't it? Jealousy is not always sinful. Like if I saw someone or my wife doing something because I believe I'm the one that's going to take care of her more than everybody else in this room, everybody else in this world. I'm going to do what's best in my mind and what she's communicated to me. I'm going to try and fulfill her needs. I'm going to take care of her. And she goes, just as an example, she goes and says, I'm going to desire something else, someone else. Do I have a right to be jealous? Wouldn't you? If you truly cared, you would be. And God, in the same way, cares about you to an infinite higher level than I care about my wife. He knows all the ins and outs of who you are, and He knows what's best for you and I, and He's supplied what's best for you and I, and we walk away from all of that and turn to another god, an idol. And God says, I'm jealous for you. And so His wrath is all that's left then. And so idolatry is relevant today, brothers and sisters, because we can look around our culture in and outside of the church and we find covetousness, which amounts to, in the Apostle Paul's opinion, idolatry. What's that, Paul? Yeah, well, I was being facetious. Yes. God's opinion, God's truth, is that it is idolatry. And it is something for us to avoid, brothers and sisters. These false gods are at war, and they are battling for your heart. If you're taking notes, that is your word. Underneath every sin, every overindulgence, every sinful worry, even in your self-righteousness, it is a false god battling for you. They might be different, they might be named differently, dressed up differently, but they are there they are, so intertwined into our lives that we might not even recognize them. We might not even recognize them. They become so familiar to us, there might be even a part of our everyday life that we don't even recognize that we're serving them. Sometimes these gods, though, sometimes these false gods, these idols, start out as gifts from God. In the beginning, God looked around and He looked at everything and He said, what? Everything is good. And so when you think about food, or you think about sex, or you think about marriage, or you think about knowledge, you think about wisdom, all of those things that God has given us to enjoy, we turn around and turn them into what? Thank you. It's okay if you say something. I'm not going to be embarrassed. Maybe you will, but I will not. All right. You think about Israel, you think about any reason that they had to build an idol, literal idolatry. They built literal idols to bow down and worship. They offered incense, they offered sacrifices. They even offered what? Their own kids. Why? Because they want to get something back. You want to get something back. And you think about the idols of today. Why do people bow down to them? Because they want to get something back. They want to get satisfied. They want something back. And just like the video said, it's never going to satisfy. Because we were created to serve Him, the one and only true God. And once we begin to serve Him with our whole heart, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, all of our being. Then we'll be satisfied. Instead, let me ask you this. When you go and you're having a stressful time, and you know, I speak from experience because I deal with it. I deal with it. Where do you go for comfort? And don't take this the wrong way. But where do you go for comfort? You go to your cupboards? Is eating wrong within itself? Mm-mm. But who gave you that food? You recognize that God is the giver of all good things for us to enjoy. We want to enjoy them. So there's nothing wrong with enjoying them. But when they take the place of who God says He is supposed to be in our life, our comfort, our peace, our joy. Think about it. Are we not satisfied with God? Just think about it. How would you define worship? Anybody? Define worship for me. Raise your hand and I'll call on you. B. Adoring. Adoration. Good. Anything else? Bobby? Good. What you build your life around. What you create. Good. Excellent. Would you agree with that? Adoration, what you build your life around. That's what worship is. Let me illustrate it like this. And can I get two volunteers, preferably a male and a female? I don't care how old or young or in between you are. Male and a female. Females? I'll play a girl, I guess. Okay, I'll play the girl. Are we shy in this place, brothers and sisters?
I'll play the girl.
No, you stay there. None of you would say that you worship sports, would you? None of you would say that, especially given the definition we've just been given. And if I give you literal idolatry, this is what literal idolatry means. And let me see if I can do it. Literal idolatry, and Vaughn will speak to this even more in detail, is this. Now, none of you would say you do that, right? How many of you say you do that? And that's just sports. And how many people do you think do that? They sacrifice, might even sacrifice church attendance for sports. I've made that mistake before. And so in our own minds, we can come up with any excuse we want to and say, it's not worship, it's not a false god, it's not an idol, it's just soccer. Let me try this one. You're doing really well by standing up here, too. I was struggling with this one because this is pretty healthy. None of us would say that we literally worship food, would we? None of us really would we? But how many of you, how many of those in the world that we are around, when there's a stressor, they don't go to prayer. They don't go to another brother or sister. Some of you do. They go right here. And it's not as healthy. They turn themselves into a glutton, which means what? More than what you need. Covetous. I know that God is there, but what I truly desire is something now. I need it now. I need to feel better now. And none of us would ever say that we worship food. Yeah, I took it out. How many of you would say that this isn't a problem? How many of you would say that you do not bow down to entertainment? And then turn around and say, we didn't got enough time to study. Oh, I didn't have time to pray this week because is watching one or two or three of these a week wrong in itself? Everybody say no. But when I go to this, when I know I should be going to God, right? What has it become? An idol. in here. And so I build myself around food and entertainment and athletics and whatever else it is, all the while pretending that I'm not a worshiper, I'm not even religious. And one of the biggest ones we see today is this. That's my man. What did you say? Did I just embarrass you? Yeah? And none of us would ever say that we worship our mate or our boyfriend or our girlfriend. But what happens, brothers and sisters? What happens? They become the whole focal point. And I get it. I was young once. They become the whole focal point of our existence. First thing we do is check our phone, see if they tagged us. Right? Last thing we do before we go to bed. Is it wrong to have a girlfriend, a boyfriend, or to be engaged, or to be married? No, that's the way God created everything for us to enjoy. But when it gets to a point where we choose, okay, I know we shouldn't live together, I know we shouldn't have sex before we get married, but I'm still going to anyway because God says this and I say this, what does it become? It's become idolatry. Covetousness. And none of us would say that we bow down on our knees and our face to the ground and any of those things. But if we're not careful, we might find ourselves with, yes, God first, but below God there's all these other idols we've set up. And then we wonder why the Christian life isn't all it's cracked up to be. Well, that's because you've got to get rid of some things. And one of the challenges in this series is going to be just that. We want to encourage you and challenge all of us to consider the idols that might be roaming around our temple. And I encourage you to try and make it on Wednesdays. You're going to have a journal to go along with the DVD sessions. So if you can, I would encourage you to try and make it. If you can't, I mean, that's okay. As long as it's not an idol in the way. Okay? So, everyone worships. Let me prove it to you. The reality is, they battle for your heart. Excuse me. They battle for your heart. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Verse 1. Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. In other words, now that I'm saved, now that I'm in Christ, now that I've been separated from sin, and I've been united with Christ, God's grace is just going to get bigger and bigger. If I continue to sin, right? Let's sin more and pile up the sin, so God's grace will be huge. And what does he say? No. Nope. You've got the wrong idea about that one, bruh. May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into what? And so why do so many churches not teach baptism, immersion by water? Satan. If God says that's what we need to do, then that's what we need to do. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves. And you say you don't worship anything. Slaves. Slaves have masters, don't they? Slaves of sin. Slaves have masters. And if you are a slave to sin, that means you've taken God, the one and only true God, off of the throne, and you've placed other gods on there that cause you to sin. And you are a slave, my friend. Slaves. And so they battle for your heart. There's masters of there's sin, who can be a master. And all the forms of idolatry that we speak about today in our modern day culture. And even in some cultures still today, you can go to Gold Star Boulevard in Worcester. There is a Buddhist temple there. Guess what they worship? Literal idols. Right in your own backyard. So they battle for our heart. The reality is, we might not recognize them, and we talked about that a little bit. Sometimes they are so intertwined into our lives that we don't even realize it. We might not recognize them. And they may start as gifts from, and we talked about this, didn't we? They start as gifts from God. But they do battle for our heart. Sometimes we don't recognize them. And they start out sometimes as gifts from God. And that's what Bobby said, isn't it? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. It's one of the most famous passages about Christ emptying himself and becoming a man, taking on the form of man, becoming a servant, and even to the point of death. He humbled himself. In verse 9, for that reason, or for this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will what? Of those who are in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And what is that telling us? What are those verses telling us? That whether or not you think you worship something or not, eventually you will worship Christ. Because every knee will bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So you will eventually worship. Not because you want to. Because we talked about truth this morning in our class. The truth of the matter is Jesus Christ is Lord. And he did humble himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men. He died on the cross, was buried, was risen again from the grave. And God says there's no other name among men. In Acts 4:12, that we must be saved. No other name. And so whether or not now or later, we will worship. Why not start now? The video talked about how, Colossians 1, it talked about how everything was created through Christ. Everything was created through Christ and for Christ. And we talked about that as being an evidence, that as being a proof in text as to why all of us are worshipers. We all were created to worship something. Because Christ is the one who created us all, whether we're religious or not. He created everything. And he created it for him, to give him glory. And so deep down inside of each and every one of us, there's a desire. We can't quite put our finger on just what it is. That's it. That's it. But what does God say? Exodus chapter 20. What does God say in verse 3? Exodus 20 and verse 3. What does God say? You shall have no other gods before me. Right? You shall have no other gods before me. Now, wait a minute, preacher. This is the Ten Commandments. We don't follow the Ten Commandments. Try and be a Christian without following or trying to abide by the commandments that we have here. Try to be a Christian. So what we mean when we say that is what? Being under the law of Christ, the law of liberty, if we fail in these, what? Christ covers us. So it's not like we just take the Ten Commandments and go, boop. Careful now. Got to be careful. But what did God say first? You will have no other gods before me. Now, how many of you hear that and say, oh, okay. So as long as God is first, no, there's no gods before him. He's at the top. I can have all these other ones. Anybody thinking like that this morning? How many of you are living like that? As long as there's no gods before me, I'm at the top. I can have all these other ones too. Of course not. Paul tells the church, he says, we know. We know there's no such thing as other gods. There's only one living God. But if I'm causing my brother or sister to stumble because there's meat sacrificed to idol, I won't eat it. We know that there's no other gods. But there are. Because they've been placed in our hearts because we've allowed them to infiltrate who we are. And so we worship them. And God says, no, there is no other God. It's not like you go around and sit in, you know, your company's boardroom and there's a whole bunch of gods. There's God, the living God, the one and only true God. Then there's the God of food. Then there's the God of love. Then there's the God of sex and romance and pleasure. And they're all okay. And God's like, hey guys, how's it been? No. There is no other God. God is not settling for that. Remember, he's jealous. Only one can satisfy. And you shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Whoa, that's a big leap. You have idols in your life? Do you? Question is, what have we built our lives around? And what have you built your life around? What have I built my life around? Is it really the one true God? And everything that I try to do, all the plans I make, filter through what God says I should do? Because ultimately, brothers and sisters, with all of the idols that we can worship, there's really only one. Me. You are the biggest competition. Your flesh. Self. I'm the biggest competition because I want what I want. More sometimes than what I know what's best for me. Isn't that insane? What about you? Do you worship you? Let's stand and sing our song.